one of the richest and deepest texts with so much commentary is the Haggadah. The Haggadah, which is read by young and old on Pesach night by even those who did not embrace all the mitzvos. See to it to read this very holy and very important history of our Jewish people. So significant is this Haggadah, and so valuable are the meanings found within, that we find that even the greatest of sages spent the entire evening speaking about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the Jewish people leaving Egypt, the entire night delving into this Haggadah. And therefore one would certainly wish to believe that the very end, the last page of the Haggadah, should bear the greatest significance, should wrap up and explain everything that is found on all the pages before. But yet we find a child's song. We find a song, Chad Gadya, about one little goat, which seems to have absolutely no place whatsoever in a Haggadah, in such an incredibly holy book. In fact, these piyutim that are found at the end of the Haggadah are not found by the Kisvei HaGaonim in the Gaonic period. It was not found in the Siddur of Rashi or by the Machzor of Vitri. But nonetheless, there is tremendous significance to the Chad Gadya. So much so that the Tashbetz explains in his interpretation of the Haggadah. He says that the Chad Gadya is, quote, a mashal nister v'nifla. Certainly is not about a bunch of barn animals in which many families, one reads and one barks and meows. But rather, it has tremendous, deep, hidden meaning, tremendous significance and symbolism. But what is it? And how serious is the offense of teasing or making fun of the Chad Gadya? Believe it or not, this was a question that was asked to the Chidah. The Chidah says in his Shalos and Tshuvos Chaim Shaul, he was asked about a person who is misloitzeitz al piyut Chad Gadya. They used to mock and make fun of those people who parpiv and slandered and humiliated and made fun of anyone who recited these paragraphs at the end of the Haggadah. And Masa Shahoyo, what happened, v'kam echad mehachabura v'nidahu. Someone was obviously very upset. They stood up and they put this person in cheirum. It's not just something which happens bizman azad that we excommunicate. Even then. But the question is, did he have reason? Is there any halachic support to put this person to cheirum? This was a question that was asked to the Chidah. And perhaps one would say, probably not. What did this person do after all? This song is just a cute little song that keeps the kids awake to the very end. But listen to the powerful response of the Chidah. Hamisloitzeitz almash nahagu rivvos alfei Yisrael. Bari Poland, the Ashkenaz. That person who scoffed and made fun of the myriads of thousands of Jews who were scattered throughout Europe. Vashir gudoyli oylam kedoshel yonim v'dor v'dor v'chachamav. That we find all of these great sages, kama v'kama rashi yeshivos, the heads and the deans of the most prominent institutions of higher Jewish learning, V'kulam omrim piyotzeh. All of them said Chad Gadya. Now listen to the next line. V'nimsa rasha zeh misleitzetz b'ribavos Yisrael. This person was not just making fun of Chad Gadya in the presence of just a few people at the Seder table. But just like one of the four children, the Chidah labels this person as a Rasha, a wicked individual, for scoffing and humiliating that which tens of thousands and counting back generations, clearly it's millions and millions of Jews. And he says, Chayv Nidui. You're absolutely right for excommunicating this person. He deserves it. If you humiliate a scholar, even after they are no longer with us, still, you deserve to be put in cheru. The whole mavaze g'oini olam kedoshim. This person is not just humiliating the Chad Gadya, but every person alive and from previous generations who said it. Shekol omrim piyut zeh, him tipshim v'asukim v'havolim. That these people are oisek in foolishness to say such a terrible thing. Pshita. You did the right thing by excommunicating him. Powerful words of the Chidah, but does not answer the question. What is Chad Gadya? What is its true meaning? What are the Nister v'Nifla? What is the hidden message? And most importantly, why did the Baal Haggadah choose to end the Haggadah in this fashion? That we should close the Haggadah and put it on our bookshelves for another year. That ingrained in our mind should be the final thoughts that we said that Seder night of a bunch of barn animals. What exactly is Chad Gadya? To answer this question, I'd like to focus on our Seder plate. We know that throughout the Seder, we eat different things which are supposed to arouse our emotion to think about certain concepts which happened to the Jewish people. Some represent slavery and pain and difficulty. And for that, we eat maror, the bitterness, and it tastes bitter for a reason. So that when we put it in our mouths, and we're gasping for air, we should remember the pain that the Jewish people suffered, not just for the few minutes while we're trying to eat the proper measures of maror, but for hundreds and hundreds of years. But that makes sense. The food, that which it tastes like, reminds us of those difficult times. As we mentioned yesterday, the karpas is a green vegetable, represents the spring to remind us of change and of growth. We look throughout the Seder table and we find foods and its symbolism and its taste is to remind us of certain things. But then we get to the most difficult food on the Seder plate, charoses. Charoses, perhaps, is the most delicious food that is unique specifically for the Passover Seder. And certainly the charoses looks like that which it is supposed to represent, the mortar in which held the bricks together, all those buildings and cities the Jewish people had to build, or being whipped, or tortured, and possibly killed. But why does the charoses taste so good? To me, it makes no sense that we take maror, which is bitter, and we dip it into the charoses to offset the bitterness with something sweet and delicious. If in fact the charoses represents, as everyone knows it does, its true meaning and symbolism is that it looks like mortar, cement. So then why didn't we make the charoses also taste disgusting? Taste terrible? Why is charoses so good? I've never seen anyone address this question, but I believe it is a very important question, which if anyone could come up with a different answer, I beg you to tell me, what is charoses? Why is it deliberately taste so good? It makes no sense. Last year, I found an answer. I was learning the last parak in Sanhedrin, the famous chapter of Chelek, Kol Yisrael Chelek Olam Haba, that all Jews have a portion of the world to come. And on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Beis is the most unbelievable Rashi. Rashi always sticks to Pashut Pshat, to the simple explanation. Is compelled to cite a Medrash. A Medrash I got. And I'd like to share with you this troubling dialogue. And I can only say it because it's here. I can only read the words, as difficult and painful as it is to read. Says Rashi, She'amrul Moshe l'Kadosh Baruch. Moshe had a problem, and he asked God a question. Atah ha'eresol am hazeh. Now the nation is having it so much worse off than they did before. Shiachshav, now im ein lehem levenim. If they do not have the raw materials, if they do not have the bricks, masimin bneihem shel Yisrael bebinyan. They take innocent little babies, innocent infants. Can you imagine how cruel and terrible these people are? And they would stick human beings, innocent, defenseless children, into these walls in place of the mortar, in order that the buildings should be able to be built on time with the same amount of material. Why did you do this to us, God? It was not so good before. But now that I have tried to cause the Jewish people to leave, it's even worse. I don't understand. It makes no sense. And Moshe doesn't understand numerous things. The one question, as we'll read tomorrow in the Torah reading, Moshe asks the question, I do not understand why there is a rush of a tovlo, a tzaddik v'ralo. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't understand you, God. And the answer that God gave is, I will have rachmanus. I will show compassion and show chen and grace to those who I feel I should show grace and compassion toward. Not a very acceptable answer. It doesn't make any sense. And this answer that God gives to Moshe, the question of why you're allowing these innocent babies to be killed, is even more troublesome. So troublesome that I was unsure if I should even share this interpretation with you today. So unsure because it makes me so uneasy. But these are the words of Chazal. These are the words of our sages. And let me just read the words. They speak for themselves. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaitzimhe. Those innocent, or I should say so-called innocent babies, they're thorns. Shigol lefanai, it's revealed before me. I know. And taking away the concept of Bechira, free will, which is a question unto itself, says Rashi, Ilu heim chayim, if these innocent little children would continue to grow up and live, listen to what he says. Hayu rishoyim gamurim. Doesn't say that these children will be wicked. A rasha gamur, rotten to the core, they will be. Similar to the ben soremor, the better that they should die zakai, without such a tainted and dirty soul, than to be able to grow up as the wayward child would have done, to lead a life of murder and crime and theft. Let these children die. That is the best thing, not just for Klal Yisrael, but it's the best thing for them. And you don't believe me? That's fine. V'im tirtzeh, if you want to nasa, why don't you test me? V'hoytzi echad mehen, take one of those kids out. Moshe, save a child. And he did. Holach, and he went. V'hoytzi es micha, and he took out a child. And that child grew up, and that child ended up being one of the worst Rishoyim. One of the most wicked individuals who engaged in tremendous Avodah Zarah and idol worship. So bad was Micha. So much corruption. That Rashi tells us on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. That what did Micha end up doing? Micha was a person who caused so many Jews to suffer. The worshipping of Pesel Shal Micha, an idol. Shal Micha Yisrael Biyado. They didn't protest. N'enshu Anshe Pilegesh Begiva. The terrible downfall of the concubine in Giva, which we read about in Sefer Shoftim. Shenafel Biyad Bin Yamin. V'hargumehem Arboim Elef. 40,000 Jews. And it was all tied to the sin of this child. This child that should have died in Egypt. That should have died and remained as the cement in the walls. Very harsh. So difficult that my head is spinning just thinking about this. But nonetheless, this has to be the meaning of the Charoses. The Charoses represents the most painful and difficult and troublesome times of Klal Yisrael. When not only were we enslaved, but children were killed. But the Charoses does not taste bitter. The Charoses tastes good. And according to this interpretation, it must mean that even though we do not understand the reasoning of God, Pesach is about faith. Pesach is about trusting and believing and having the emunah and bitachon that Hashem knows that which we do not know. That His thoughts are not like ours. And His ways are not like ours. We wish to believe that we know it all, but we know it's not true. We do not know so much. We certainly do not know much about this either. This is the purpose of Pesach. Over and over again, the purpose of the Makos and the true purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim We find again and again, Laman teida ki ani Hashem bekerav aretz. We need to know that there's a God. There's a God who's involved in our lives. There's a God who cares about us. There's a God who thinks about us. And therefore, we must do something about it too. It's fascinating. When it comes to all of the Makos, we can have our hands folded and let the Egyptians be clobbered. With the exception of Makkah number 10. Makkas Bechoros, we needed to do something. And what a tremendous leap of faith we had to take. To take the Karban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, in which the Egyptians themselves worshipped. And certainly, that would mean that we would die. We would be brutally murdered and tortured before for taking their gods, lowercase g, and destroying it and burning it. The dam, the age, the simros ashan, the slaughtering, seeing their blood poured and placing it on fire for a pillar of smoke. It was not hidden. Because the purpose of Pesach is in order to recognize and to remember that there is a God in charge of this world. And God knows best, and God cares about us. This is the tremendous symbolism of taking the Maror. The Maror, which is the bitter times, not just then, but we must envision ourselves also leaving Mitzrayim. And we also must feel Maror and the difficult and challenges that we undergo throughout our lives. The many nisyonos that are handed to us. But we take that Maror and we dip it into the Charoses. Because the Charoses reminds us that even though we see something with our limited vision and we see pain, we see trouble in our lives, we must remember the Charoses. That God is above, pulling the strings, knowing really what's best for us, and which makes the Maror, so to speak, and the pain attached to it, so much easier to swallow. This is the message of Chag Gadyah. The Chag Gadyah seemingly makes no sense. Asks the Ben Ish Chai, Yesh Makshim al Pizmon. You can ask a question. If you look at the cat, Harichatul Asa Shlo Kedin, it did something wrong. But Mashachla Sagidi, why did it eat this goat? It shouldn't have done so. Vim Kain Hakelev Shinashchu Asa Kedin. So the dog which came about and bit the cat did the right thing. Excusing vigilantism for a moment. But nonetheless, the cat deserved to be punished. And then we find Vamakil Shehiku Shalokadin. And then you have a staff that hits the dog. Why would this happen? It makes no sense. Why would this dog, which is a tzaddik, it did the right thing. Why is it Rallah? Why is God allowing this animal to be punished? It did nothing wrong. Ask the Ben Ish Chai. The whole Chag Gadyah makes no sense. But the reality is that we have to look at the very last sentence that will come out of our mouths. The last paragraph in which states, V'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu. At the end of the day, God came, V'shachat l'malchamavas, and slaughtered the angel of death. Which has in it the tremendous meaning of what Pesach really is all about. That Chag Gadyah is teaching us that even though there are things that we see in this world which do not make sense, nonetheless, at the end, we have to remember that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'man teida ki ani Hashem bekerav aretz. There's a God in this world. And that's the meaning of why we must say Haggadah, and how serious it is, and how connected it is to the very theme of what Pesach represents. And you know, when we make that action, when we take our steps forward, God will do the same. As it says in the Haggadah that Hashem Himself was involved. It was not through a shliach, not through an agent, but rather b'kvod of Atzmo He did this. God is involved in our lives. God is involved in this world. God cares. And this is one of the meanings of Birchas HaChama. The blessing concerning the sun, which we said just 2 days ago, which we will not say again for another 28 years. I will not be able to say this until I'm 64 years old. Yemir Tzashem. Unbelievable. What was Birchas HaChama? We were in Bell Harbor, standing on a beautiful beach, gazing at the sky, gazing at the ocean. And then the sun began to shine. And how could one help but to think that God is involved? God did not just create this world and set it into motion, because we said the bracha, Osa Masa Bracious. Osa Masa Bracious means that God is involved right now in the creation of the world. HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yoim Tomin Masa Bracious. Every moment, the world cannot function. Eishar Lamo Lefanecha Afil Shachat. If we're not for God's involvement in our lives, we would not be able to survive. If we think about the sun just for a moment, how many millions of miles away it is from this earth and the other planets, how it's impossible to live there. That at this Birchas HaChama, of course, people walked on the moon many years ago, even by the previous Birchas HaChama. But now, we have access to see Mars. And the next Birchas HaChama, perhaps there will actually be a person that will have traveled to Mars. And maybe there will be life, not just on Earth, but on the moon. But it's not really a great place to live, is it? The earth that we live on is beautiful. Can you imagine that on a nice day, you do not need heat from freezing to death? You do not need air conditioning units so that you will not boil to death from the burning hot sun. You can just walk outside comfortably, as we did. And thinking just about these things, about gravitation, the gravitational pull, just thinking about nature is a way in which we realize God is involved. God was involved then by having the Jewish people leave Mitzrayim. God's very much involved in our lives as well. That's the message of Pesach. That's the message of Birchas HaChama. That's Haggadah. It's explained in the Sefer Moadim L'Simcha that when Hashem slaughters the Malchim Aves, it's not some little game, but it's referring to Asid Lavo. Bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shochid L'Yetzahara. Hashem will take the evil inclination and slaughter it before us. Because once we really recognize God's existence on this world, how could we sin? God is so involved in my life, how could I help but to be involved in the life that God wants me to be involved in? And therefore, once we have that total realization, our Yetzer Hara will be slaughtered and will only do the Ratzon Hashem. In conclusion, Hashem slaughtering the Yetzer Hara, and we gaze upon the Kosha Eliyahu, it gives us the opportunity to truly believe and to pray and to hope for this futuristic time, the Geula Asida, the future redemption, V'oz Yecherus Meyitzahara Shehu Malcham Aves, that we will not just have a physical freedom, but freedom to do that which we know we should do, to serve God, to elevate ourselves, Yemir Tashem, that day should happen soon, Bimheru V'Yameinu, speedily in our days. Good job.